Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Why is prayer so hard? Why is it that we don't take more of our time and set it aside in prayer? I mean, on the one hand, it's really easy for us to say those quick, you know, little 15-second deals that we do before a meal. That's easy enough, you know. And even, you know, if we want to give another concession, it's really not that big of a stretch to think that we might pray for 30 seconds the Lord's Prayer before we go to bed at night. But when was the last time you took 10 minutes? You set aside 10 minutes to pray to God. Would you even know what to pray for 10 minutes? Why would you want to do that to begin with? I mean, honestly, these are real questions. These are things that we struggle with. And in our gospel reading for today, Jesus tells us exactly why we should do this and exactly why this is important. He says these words. And that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. Jesus tells us we should pray. And prayer should really come a whole lot easier to us than it actually does. But having difficulty with prayer isn't a new thing. Right after Jesus gives this discourse in the upper room, where do they go? But they go to the garden. Garden of Gethsemane, right? The night Jesus is betrayed. And what happens in the garden? But Jesus goes off by himself to pray for a little while, and he comes back to his disciples to find them all sleeping. Really? You can't even pray for just a little while? We can relate, though. Right? How many times have we taken our prayer of the church, which we'll have in just a few moments? The prayer of the church is probably only like 3 or 4 minutes long. And yet how many times does our mind sort of zone out just in time, we come back just in time to hear the pastor say, Lord, in your mercy, and we go, oh, that's my cue. Hear our prayer. Faithfulness. Doing it. Prayer is directly related to your faith. If you believe your Heavenly Father is listening, if you believe that He has the power to give you what you are asking for, and if you believe that God Himself loves you for the sake of Jesus, if you believe all of this, you will pray. So why don't we do it? The sad truth is that our faith is lacking, and it's evidenced by our prayer life. There's a reason for it too, though. I mean, think about it. We've all found ourselves in a crisis of one at one time or another in life. And in fact, since this is Chestnut, Illinois, many of you are probably feeling like you're in a crisis right now. What do? Ask God for help? So often when we ask God for help, especially to this point, it seems like He responds with silence. For all of the prayers that have gone up to Him, it seems as if He is not listening. So often it seems as if we have asked, we have not received, and now we have ended up in this experience of frustration and despair and hopelessness, and we don't know what to do. Where's the joy you promised, Jesus? Prayer is supposed to make us rejoice, right? He said, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Well, I just checked the joyometer. It's reading empty. What am I to do? If I perceived that joy was coming in, it'd be a whole lot easier to pray. But therein lies the problem. It's not that God isn't listening. It's not that he doesn't willingly give you everything that you need. It's not that he's not even chomping at the bit to give you what is good for you. It's perception. It's your vantage point versus God's vantage point. Our perception is the problem. Our sin gets in the way of being able to see the much greater picture about how God is working all things for our good. He doesn't just work in the moment for our good. He works through the entire life, the entire eternity for our good. And sometimes even he works through suffering. Sometimes he works through hardship. Why should we pray? Because God is listening. We have so many different stories in the Old Testament that prove he is listening. Job went through some pretty hard times. In fact, I know Bible study just did a whole thing on Job, right? God was listening to Job, but it took him forever to have his blessings restored. Jonah, he gets put into the belly of a fish for 3 days. What do you think he was doing? Praying fervently, but God didn't make the whale, big fish, spit him out on the shore after the first day, nor after the second day. God spent 3 days to spit Jonah out. You think he didn't know where to turn? Elijah, the king and queen after his head for almost his entire ministry. And yet God still cared for him. And of course, we would expect that if somebody perfect were to pray to God, well, God would certainly grant them whatever they ask. But again, as we travel to Gethsemane, that's exactly what Jesus did. The perfect Son of God asked, "Lord, if this cup of your wrath can pass from me, let it happen. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And even though Jesus prayed for relief from his suffering, God still delivered suffering. Why? Because it was necessary. Because it was good for the world. Because it was good for you. Perception is the problem. We don't see the big picture, but God does. And he has promised that every good thing is still coming to you. It's a promise, and he's never broken a promise. There's a little story that most people are probably pretty familiar with, but I'll tell it anyway because some people might not be. But there's this man who's praying to God, right? He hears about this flood that's coming. We can relate, right? Hears about this flood that's coming on the news, right? And so his neighbor comes over, knocks on his door, says, "This flood's coming, we got to get out of here. We got an extra spot in the car, jump in, let's go to safety." And so the man prays, he goes, "No, that's okay." He says, "God's going to save me." Well, next thing he knows, he's sitting in his armchair and the water rises up and it's starting to cover his porch. And so somebody's coming by in a canoe. And he goes, "Come on, jump in the canoe and we'll paddle off to safety." And the guy goes, "No, I prayed with God and he's going to save me." So the canoe leaves. Next thing you know, the water level rises and pretty soon he can't even be on the first floor of his house anymore. He's standing on his bed in his bedroom because that's the only way he can stay dry. And what happens? But a motorboat comes and calls into the house, "Is anybody in there? Come with us to safety." The man says, "That's all right. I prayed with God. He's going to save me." The motorboat leaves. Next thing you know, the floodwaters rise, and all of a sudden, this man is standing on his roof. And a helicopter flies by, throws down a rope, and says, "Grab the rope. We'll fly you to safety." The man says, "No, that's okay. God's going to save me." Well, not much longer, his house collapsed, and the man drowned in the flood. He had great faith that God was going to save him. And so as he arrives to the pearly gates and he looks at God and he says, "God, I had so much faith. I prayed fervently and I thought you were going to save me. Why didn't you?" God very patiently tells the man, "I sent you a warning. I sent you a canoe, I sent you a motorboat, and I sent you a helicopter. What more did you expect? As we pray to God in the midst of our needs, He hears and He responds, but it's not always the way we expect. It's not always the way we want. But God is still working, even when we can't see it. We just need to open our eyes to see things from His perspective. His perspective looks a lot like sending His Son into the world to gain for Himself a holy people. His perspective looks a lot like He gave the most precious thing in the entirety of existence. That way you could be saved. That way you could know about His love and His care and His mercy. And the same God who sent Jesus, He is the same God who is still working for you even right now. Even though it might be hard to see. Why can we have joy in prayer? Even in the midst of hardship, it's because we know our Savior. We know what Jesus endured for us. We know that He went to the cross and bled and died for us. And we know that He rose again for us. We know that because of this Jesus, we have been brought near to God, or more importantly, God has been brought near to us to hear our petitions, to hear our prayers, and to reassure us of His love. I got one more analogy to give you. You know, with prayer, you know, imagine that you're standing on one side of the Grand Canyon, and then a mile across to the other rim is God. And it wouldn't matter how much screaming or yelling you do, as long as there is this giant chasm between you, God would not be able to hear. That's what our sin is. It comes between us and God. It makes this chasm that is impossible to bridge. And yet that's exactly what Jesus does for us. He takes away the sin. He removes the chasm. He bridges the gap. And God comes near to you every day, promising never to leave you, never to forsake you, always to uphold you. It's a promise. God's never broken a promise. My friends, in the midst of hardship, there's a lot of questions. And the truth is that John 16 brings up its own questions. Why is prayer so hard? Because we don't have God's perspective. When was the last time we prayed? Probably too long ago. Why should we want to pray? Because our Father has promised to hear us. And how and why can we have joy in prayer? But because we know who Jesus Christ is. Our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, the person who has promised us every good thing through His death and resurrection. My friends, set yourselves to pray. Today, every day, especially in the midst of your hardship. Because God is always listening. And He loves to give you every good thing. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your prayers in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.